Okay, thanks. I brought the cup of water for me here only because our brother Ken said that he doesn't want to hear a dry message. So certainly that's there. And I was reminded of what our Lord said when he took the cross and he went in the streets of Jerusalem. He said, if this be done to a green tree, what will it be done to a dry one? I'm also reminded of that rod that was put into the ark, Aaron's rod. What happened to it? It was a dead rod. And out of it, not only did it bud, but it even bore fruits, blossoms. We trust that our God can take something that's as much as a dead wood and make it blossom. He is God. So I'm going to bow in a moment of prayer. I want you to pray with me silently that we be cast upon the Lord for the next half hour. Our Father, we once again thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for this wonderful Lord, our Savior, who is our life. We thank you for everything. We ask, O Father, that only what is glorifying to you will be spoken here and be received. Father, prepare our hearts to receive the Lord Jesus Christ in a bigger way in our lives, even as it was reminded. Is he the King of your lives? O Father, may it be so. In whose precious and worthy name we pray. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, to one little verse in John chapter 12. I've been speaking on this the last time. We'll just read that verse again, and then we'll see the context of what it is. John chapter 12, verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me with him, him will my Father honor. Okay, we'll stop there, and then we'll go to the book of Luke, chapter 9, please. Luke, chapter 9. And I believe it's verse 23 and 24. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Now, this is the very words of our Savior on this earth. He spoke these words in a very significant way. Because if you read on in chapter 12, and I'll just keep it as a reference to me, is he will say this in verse 27, which I did not read. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. I just want you to picture this. Maybe I've referred to this before. Our Lord in John 1 is called the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When he says, my soul is troubled, and what does it say? And what shall I say? You think about this for a minute. How quick we are with words. How many words we speak every day, every time. May I gently come, because it's been speaking to my heart, that just getting out words out and out and out is not the best thing. Talkativeness is not very glorifying to God. I'm not curbing anyone's talking. But just to see how the person who was called the Word, he says, "What shall I say?" Because he had come to that particular hour. Was he, as we say, at a loss of words? No. Because if you go back to the Psalms, he says, he calleth the stars by name. Scientists every day are increasing the total count of stars. Billions, 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 billions. If he called each of these stars by name, can you just imagine what his vocabulary is? I believe, if my count is correct, the Chinese language has the most number of words. I think it's close to 10 to 15 million. Million, that's an M. But a billions and billions. But he pauses and he says this, "What shall I say? To this hour have I come." Because he was speaking about the cross. And the cross becomes more and more important. Because that's something he's going to stress and stress and stress. Last time when I spoke about this, I said, if a man tries to save his life, he will lose it. But if he loses his life, he will save it. And that's what the Savior says, both in John and in Luke. And it's very particular that the Lord had to die by the cross. The death was the cross. If you look at it, it is not only mentioned in prophecies that it would be the cross. His hands were pierced, his legs, and he was hanging. The cross was not at that time of David when he wrote Psalm 22. The idea of crucifying criminals, particularly insurrectionists, or like we like to say in modern terms, insurgents, right? But insurrectionists, rebels, political rebels. Julius Caesar, before the time of in the BC, he actually went after, when he was becoming powerful, went after a bunch of pirates who were creating all kinds of problem in the Roman kingdom. When he got them, he said, "I'm going to teach everybody else who is going to rebel. I'm going to put them not only to death, the most agonizing death, but I'm also going to make it very public." And that's why he put them on the cross. That's how it started. Romans normally beheaded their criminals. That's why Paul was taken out, they believe, and he was beheaded somewhere in Rome. Whereas Peter, as far as history goes, and it's not confirmed, it's not in the scriptures, was crucified. The reason why I'm saying about the crucifixion is it is one form of death, as I said, that cannot be self-inflicted. It cannot be self-inflicted. It has to be done by someone else. You just passively say, "All right." I don't know whether everybody was passive till the last minute, but somebody forced an arm, held it down, and the nails went in. Forced another arm, nails went in. Into the leg, was taken up and hammered into the ground. That's what happens in crucifixion. Now, we come to Luke. We say something our Savior says, "If any man will come after me." And that is what is very, very significant. He's going to say not only, as we say, "Are you going to heaven? Are you sure of heaven?" So both of all are very important, by the way. But more importantly, are you going to be his follower, his disciple? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Our Lord was the perfect example of self-denial. It not only led him to be crucified, in every significant point of the way in his life, he denied himself. Where do we see this picture? Philippians chapter 2. We will see that over. Let me read. Okay. And he's speaking about here. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, verse 3, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a man, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also highly exalted him, and hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. He denied himself. What does it mean? He did not assert every time what belonged to him or what was his rightful place, position, or anything else. We all know this word very, very, very well. Rights. Our country even has something known as Bill of Rights. Very important thing. We will say, this is my right to speak here. This is our right to assemble peacefully. This is our right to cast a vote if we are not felons. This is our right. And if you think in the society we live, not only we humans, everything else has a right these days. The whales have a right. They want to be kept alone. Squirrels, everything these days. Everybody has rights. Because that seems to be what we want to see. I, mine. Right, I have to do this. How many times in this gospel, if you read it again and again and again, our Lord would say, no, I would have been the high priest. Our brother Bob brought us to the high priest. When he walked into the temple, he could have looked at whatever was going on. That sacrifice, that's mine. Whereas John sets it out very clearly in the very first chapter. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The more clearer translation is, he came into his own dominion, and he was not given his own dominion. He was the king, but he was not. One example comes to me at the temple when our Lord went. He went into the temple, and the Jews came along and said, you have to pay the tax. They actually didn't come to the Lord. Who do they go to? They went to Peter. Does he not pay tax? Peter says, oh yes, we pay tax. A good guy. And then he didn't have a coin to pay. Would the Lord needed to have paid the tax there? No. That was for foreigners and other people. Now please, I'm not one who advocates not paying taxes in our country, okay? The Bible clearly says, pay your taxes, due to whom honor is due, taxes, everything. And may I also add, nowhere in the scripture does it say, pay your taxes and grumble. Please. We do a lot of that these days. We pay our taxes and then grumble. We complain. It is not It's not becoming of a Christian to grumble about the taxes we pay. Otherwise, the Bible would have said that. It's very important to understand that. Honor to whom honor is due, fear to whom fear. We have to respect the word of God. But then again, The Lord didn't never said, all right, now I'm going to do this, and here's the coin. What happened then? He sent Peter, and he said, Peter, go out and cast a line. He never said cast a net. These are all very important things in the Word. He said, cast a line, you'll get one fish, and when you catch it, the first fish you catch, open its mouth, you will find a coin, pay it for me and for you. He made Peter work, and he paid the tax. The Lord could have claimed his position there. The Lord could have claimed so many of his other positions when he went, but he denied himself. And that is something, to me, is coming again and again and again. It does not mean I shirk away from the priesthood that God has given me, from being a child of God. No. When I'm asked to take up responsibility, I will take it up, provided it is the will of the Lord. But I am not going to try to always be number one. Let nothing be done with self-conceit or vainglory. Let nothing be done. I almost thought that I would say that what I wanted to speak this morning, the topic would be the word nothing. Because it reminds me of a story when India was under the British rule. There were a lot of Indians, generally the princely princes and other well-to-do people, who used to be sent to Oxford and Cambridge to be educated. So those two universities and the colleges in their universities were very well known for debating societies. They would have extempore debates, and that's where those big speeches and things came out. And there was a speaker of the Indian Parliament later when India became independent. The story is about him. He, as a student, that time we were still under British rule, India, and he went there, and in the debating society, it was extempore, they wanted to make fun of this Indian guy. So the secretary of the debating society got up, and he said, today, Mr., I forget that speaker's name, whatever long Indian names those are, will speak on the topic of nothing. And he sat down. So they were all right, here we're going to skewer him. He's going to stand up and speak on nothing. And of course, being Indian, and that's where the talkativeness is a problem, right? They're no short of words. He got up and he said, yes, I'll speak on nothing. And his first sentence was, without India, the British Empire is nothing. And then he went on, without the taxes from India, you won't get this. Without this, everything, your finished goods won't be sold in India. Without the cotton from India, nothing, nothing, nothing. We could say that. Because what did our Savior say? I can do nothing of myself. Do nothing for self-glory and thing. Because our Lord, when he came as the man, as the perfect man, he denied himself. He, may I say, he did everything on his own, but he deferred the decisions to the Father. He was so much in tune with the Father, he and the Father. What the Father says, I will say. What he does, I will. He tells me to do, that's what he does. Again and again, I am reminded of that. Do I assert myself to have something? I think I am better, self-conceit. I receive the glory, vainglory, and I push myself. In Philippians 2, what does he say? He did not, in another translation, reach out and grasp. Right? He had to be given. And when he humbled himself, God exalted him. And that's what it says. Humble yourself in the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. What does the world say today to us? You want to do? Be assertive. I like the word. They will never say be assertive. They'll say be aggressive. I always thought when I grew up that being aggressive is negative because you go and fight with people. But nowadays, aggressive is being positive. Oh, you need to be very aggressive. Get the decision. Make it and show it. Our Lord, at any time, he was absolutely firm on what he was, and he never changed it. When the Jews asked him, tell us clearly, are you the Messiah? He said, yes, I and the Father are one. They asked him, do you say that? Yes. But he was never going to grasp unless the Father was going to give it to him. Denying himself. There's another thing about this one. When we read, taking up his cross in Luke 23, daily. Again, last time we said about taking up the cross. In the streets of Jerusalem, under Roman occupation, if, let's pick up some name, Benjamin was going to be taking up the cross and walking the streets, they knew where he was going to end. Benjamin could not turn around to Yehuda and say, hey, tomorrow I'll come and sign that land deal. No. That day he was out. That meant death, the cross. Reading back in Luke 9:23, taking up the cross, that means the sentence of death has been passed. I know I'm crucified with Christ. May I ask, who are the executioners of me? We can say that in Christ we were put to death. But what about the daily? Who are my executioners? Surprisingly, may I say, very carefully, my executioners are my own family members, my brothers and sisters in the Lord, and everyone. Because we are pointed again and again and again. How much of the self we portray to others. And sometimes there is so much misunderstanding, miscommunication, if you will, misrepresentation, even sometimes slander. I'm reminded of many painful incidents, and many people tell me, at one time at work, a guy had walked into my office. It was a totally needless conversation he and I were having. In the sense of, both of us managed an account, IBM software, and we were talking about how IBM had named. We are not from IBM, had named something. And so I was, as you can see, I use my hands when I speak and say things like that. All of a sudden, after that conversation, he stopped speaking to me, completely out of the blue. And apparently, he says that I had said something like I had shown a sign to, like, told him something. I never did that. But what I'm trying to say was a simple gesture sometimes can be misunderstood, miscommunicated, and taken in a wrong way. But coming back to the point is the Lord reminds us again and again how much we have to deny ourselves. When I am misrepresented, when I am misunderstood, what is my recourse? To walk up to another brother and, start saying, no, this was not how it was. That was the way it was. This is the way it was. Is that the way I should take? Or leave it into the hands of God. He will take care of it. He will know what to do. But you can pray for all. First, for your own strength from the Lord to forgive. Then, to keep that, because We are not on our own. We are in the body. To believe that our Lord can give you the strength. When he tells you, take up the cross daily, we can understand. We have the sentence of death passed on us. And those who will try to save their lives will lose it. But those who will lose their life, when he says, "You, if you lose your life," did he include my reputation? If somebody says ill of me, it's my reputation. Would I then try to go and try to make it something? Or would I leave it into the hands of God? God sometimes will arrange circumstances where you can reconcile. But there are some people you can never reconcile with. And he says, deny himself. So we've seen about denying himself, taking up the cross daily. What after the cross, when he's crucified? Our Lord rose again, and we've been reminded again and again, we will also be raised up. In this life, we are not guaranteed health and happiness at all. If I put it in a different way, our destiny is not health and happiness. But there is one thing the Lord is focused upon. Please turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That is our destiny. That is why he wants us to deny ourselves, take up our crosses daily, to be conformed to the image of his Son. In 1 John chapter 3, what does the word say? When we see him, we shall be like him. I've got a few minutes, so I won't take you there, but maybe I will read one quick verse, because one of the most, the best illustration of taking something that was horrible and confirmed to the image of his Son is the life of Jacob. Jacob means supplanter, deceiver. He was taken and he was made into the likeness of his Son. Let's read in chapter, here it is, chapter 28. Okay, we know what's happening. I'm short of time here. After Jacob deceives his brother, and he deceived it with the help of his mother, everything happens. Jacob is asked to go find a wife for him in his mother's relatives. And what I want to say is, in chapter 28, Genesis, verse 10, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. Please note that. The sun was set. He had a dream. We know about Jacob's ladder, ascending and angels ascending and descending heaven. That was the place called Bethel, the house of God. Now, if you see the beauty of the scriptures, from chapter 28 till chapter 32, the sunrise is never mentioned. In chapter 32, you will see the sunrise. Verse 24, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. The literal translation is, until the ascension of the day. For how many years? More than 20 years. It was the longest night. There's a great book by Cornelius Ryan called The Longest Day. He writes about World War II. It's a great movie, The Longest Day. This was the longest night. you and me, we can be assured of heaven, and I trust that everyone here has that blessed assurance in their lives, children included. You can have the assurance, but you can still be a Jacob in the night. What happens to Jacob? Let's read on. Chapter 32, verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he, that is the man, saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob, and so on. What's happening here? Jacob is wrestling with a man. I'm very much into sport, but that's one sport I didn't get into. I won't ask for a show of hands who was a wrestler here, but that's okay. From what little I know of wrestling, the way it's done is, you wrestle, say, I'm wrestling with a man, and he wants to defeat me, I want to defeat him. There are some legal, according to the rules of wrestling, I can hold him, and then I need to pin him down and keep that hold on him for a certain time. You know, only time during Olympics I sometimes watch that. The two big guys, you know, going on the floor mat, and then the referee goes like that, you know, and he counts. If you count till 10 and you held him there, he won. What does it mean? The one who won, or who is declared the winner, can bring into submission the other person. And that's what the man who wrestled with Jacob would do to Jacob. Jacob tried for the whole night. His night was about 20 years. It's represented in one night there in Peniel. And then finally, the man touched him in the most strongest part of the human, that's the hollow of the thigh. And from then on, Jacob said, I quit, you're the winner. But how is it recorded? He wrestled with God and prevailed. It's almost declared as Jacob won the bout. No, God had given him the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. When I submit to the perfect will of God by denying myself, taking up my cross daily, I am the, may I say, victor or winner. I become victorious in Christ because I have submitted to Him completely. That is real Christian victory. When I learn to deny myself, take up my cross, and walk with Him. That is the, if I should use the word, destiny, to be confirmed to the image of His Son. And as our brother pointed out this morning, is He the King of your life? If He is, I will deny myself. If He is, I will take up the cross. If He is, I will walk with Him. And how did Jacob walk the rest of his life? He walked with a limp. He came out of there. Different. But you know what? It didn't end there. We can read it up in, even in Hebrews. This old guy, when he was taken into Egypt, he brought in front of Pharaoh. Well, how does the scripture record it? The lesser is blessed of the what? Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out. At that time, Egypt was the superpower of the world. Imagine a shepherd from the tribe of Israel walking up to the monarch of the superpower and blessing him and walking out. And it didn't even end there. It says in the end, when his day was accomplished, he leaned on his staff, gave praise to the Lord, and he went up to be with the Lord. And that place where he was wrestling till the break of day, was called Peniel. Literally, it means the face of God. Am I not assured in my blessed assurance that I will see the face of God face to face? See Him? It will happen one day. But now I will be given a glimpse, if you will, provided I submit to Him and to His perfect will. It's 12. Let's pray. Father, we once again thank You for Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You, Father, that You've loved us so much. Thank You, Father, that we can spend this time. May it be to Your glory. Father, help us. Father, we once again remember at this time our country in which we live. We thank You that we can gather without the threat, fear, or anything. But we pray, Father, for those of Your dear ones gathered today to remember You, who had to hide, who had to do it in such a difficult way. We commit them to You. But we also commit those that are planning outrageous actions against Your dear ones. We pray, O Father, even as Your Son prayed on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Somehow, even such hardened people may come to know You as their Lord and their Savior. Father, we once again thank You. Take us home. Be with each one of us. And if it is Your will, gather us together, either to be with You forever or in this place again at the appointed time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.